Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Bills Wire podcast. Matt and Jeremy here. What a weekend we have just been through. Jeremy, I don't know how you're feeling. This preseason post week four has been probably a little bit more exciting than the regular off season. I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, I was just thinking if we were, you know, covering the Texans, you know, or the Dolphins or something like that, we'd have even more to talk about. But still, yeah, a lot going on with the roster moves, practice squad stuff, surprise cuts, and I'm sure we'll get to all that as well as previewing the next week's matchup, finally in the regular season against, you know, the Jets. I will say this too, Matt, 4-0. You know, we talked about the post-game show after the Bills were able to beat the Lions that they, you know, decided to stretch out to four wins the first time the franchise has won all four preseason games. So we're the preseason champs, man. So sweet. I'm excited about that.
I would say so. And you know what? The first half was a little lackluster from a fan perspective, a viewer perspective, but Actually a pretty exciting second half. Especially that last quarter, and just a great showing by the entire team as a unit to kind of come back and pull that off. I mean, a lot of teams, they might get a little bit if they're behind at that point in time in a preseason week four game. Nonetheless, they might even get maybe even a little more conservative with their play calling. But Bill stayed aggressive, and I think it was a good testament to, you know, just how this unit has been operating it together. And just very passionate too.
Yeah, it was nice to see a little comeback, and it will, you know, live in Bills preseason lore forever. You have Tyree Jackson to David Sills, both of whom are no longer with the franchise, not even brought back to the practice squad. So, well, I guess, you know, Buffalo Bulls fans can hold on to that moment. And it was just a cool comeback. You know, like you said, they scored, what, 21 or some odd points like that in the last 4 minutes. That's pretty impressive. So good story about Christian Wade making it to the practice squad. His family was in town from England. The Bills announced that and signed him. I think that was probably to be expected. And then Shady, we'll probably talk about that for a little bit. I don't know where you want to start, but there's just a lot to get to. The punting situation. that seems to be a topic that Bills fans are eager to talk about. So where are you thinking?
Let's start off with McCoy because I was actually I was actually a little surprised. I think a lot of people expected it, but with the way that Brandon Bean has been talking, putting him over about how they believe in him, this and that, I was really surprised. I was actually in Hershey, PA with my family, and I got the notification. I was like, "What is going on?" Because I would have expected maybe a trade, trying to get a trade. But for him to be just casually released, a little shocked, but then Bean explained himself a little bit with his press conference, and I understood and I appreciated the move a little bit. But everybody thought Shady's going to be the number one guy going into week one, and here we are, and he's a Chief now.
So strange. I want to say I'm surprised, but I'm not. I am a little surprised that they couldn't get anything for him. And I'm wondering if it was one of those, hey, you're a veteran, we want to do you a favor, thanks for everything that you've done, we're just going to release you so that you can choose your destiny. You know, one of those things. Just a kind of classy-ish move on the organization's part to allow him to just have that freedom, because it probably was a frustrating situation. I mean, they brought in TJ Yeldon, Frank Gore, he drafted Devin Singletary in the third round. Like, where is McCoy going to fit in all of that? And plus, you know, just his down year last year. Very odd though, that the Bills just played it up that he was, you know, Brandon Bean was adamant that he would be basically getting the ball week one. And obviously that's not going to happen now. I love the fit with the Chiefs. I do think he's going to be very good this year. I might have mentioned something to you in the Lions broadcast. I saw this tweeted out by another media member as well. He just looked explosive in a couple of those runs getting through the hole. I still think he's got it. I think that the Bills' offensive line woes last year, you know, was a big reason why he had a down year. And, you know, you lose confidence in your O-line. You probably lose a little confidence in yourself. But I think Shady with Andy Reid again is going to be dynamic, and in that offense with so many other weapons, good offensive line too there. I think, you know, he's primed for success. I'm sad that he really didn't get a chance to rebound, but you know, it's one of those things where you have Devin Singletary, like we talked about. He's very similar in terms of the style. Now, I'm not saying he's as polished, of course, as McCoy, who's, you know, on the cusp of potentially being a Hall of Fame player here. But you have a guy who's very similar, can do a lot of the same things, and he's younger and cheaper. So, and you have a crowded backfield. So I think it was just time. I'm surprised they didn't do it earlier and they kind of let him linger this long, to be honest. Like, why would you keep him around this long? He could have, you know, worked in other guys in the preseason games to get a little bit more work. But at the end of the day, I think they just looked at it and said, hey, let's do Shady a favor. Let's just outright release him. The draft pick or capital that we're, you know, asking for teams, they're not going to provide. So let's just move on. And I think that's where they came down on everything.
Yeah, I think so too. And to be honest, I think if the backfield wasn't as deep as it is currently, that maybe Shady would still be with the Bills. I think, maybe that had a big part to do with it. Singletary has progressed quite a bit. I've been reading some reports and you know, just some opinions, and Singletary has progressed quite a bit in this preseason time period. And yeah, I think it was for the best. I believe Bean did say that he wanted to give McCoy, I mean, who knows if that was his real intention or if that's how he just wanted to make it sound. But McCoy, I think, did relatively well for himself. Like you said, with the Chiefs, it's a good move, good fit for him with Andy Reid again. And, you know, how it was incredible within not even 24 hours, maybe not even 12 hours. He had a new home, which I thought was it was good. It was good for him. I'm glad he's happy. He could be Super Bowl bound this year. I mean, really. So, I mean, hats off to him with that. But for the Bills, it was a hard decision without a doubt. A lot of people were confused, upset about it a little bit. But, you know, I think it was a good move overall for the future of the Bills. I really do.
This also is another reason why you just don't buy jerseys with names on the back. Right. I mean, you buy really good players. You think they're going to be around for, you know, until the end of their career, and it never ever happens. I think as an aside, my personal opinion is just go with like, you know, the old school, like Kelly or Thomas, or, you know, just go with like some legends and you'll always be okay.
The older I've gotten, the more I've seen that. And I'm just like, you know, I'll just stick with the legend. Sometimes I'll get like a fantasy football hero, but when it comes to jerseys, I'll stick with a guy who's already cemented his legacy. I know a lot of people who've lost a lot of Bills jerseys over the last couple of years between Tyrod, Sammy Watkins, and now this, amongst several others. So
yeah, no, it's really funny to see like the Kiko Alonso jerseys that float around and stuff like that. Guys that have been off the team that are fringe players. I made this mistake. The last time I made this mistake, Matt, I bought a Paul Posluszny jersey. And thought he was going to be the staple middle linebacker for the Bills for a year. And he was for a while, but as soon as he, you know, got out of his rookie contract, he went off, you know, he was off to Jacksonville. So, yeah, that was the last time I made that mistake.
Yeah, I'll raise a J.P. Lossman jersey over that one.
There you go.
Happy Christmas. Yeah.
In seriousness, with McCoy, I think I'm honestly glad it happened for this other reason too, Matt. I just don't think he's a leader. You know, a lot of people wanted to give him the C, and you know, I think, you know, game day he performs or tries to. You know, I think he's definitely a pro when it comes to actually playing between the lines. But I've never really heard someone go out of their way to say LeSean McCoy is a leader amongst men, or, you know, you don't really hear a lot of those kinds of stories. He probably was reclusive, you know, kept to himself a lot. So I think for the room in the long run, it's going to be good too.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. You never hear him step up. I mean, I think the biggest like compliment that he's had to really offer anybody, was his compliments of Josh Allen. I think that's about as far as it went with that. But as far as a locker room leader, I haven't heard anything, and that's not a knock. That's not everybody's a natural born leader. And McCoy's, you know, he's pretty set on and hitting his yardage mark. Yeah. So as far as a, you know, a leader, I think that's an excellent point. Not too many people think of that one, but, you know, we have Frank Gore, who I think is the perfect leader for a running backs group. You know, that age veteran who's obviously winding down a little bit, but he's still, you know, putting in the work, helping out the younger guys. He's been very complimentary of Devin Singletary. And I think that it probably worked out really well. Gore could take a bulk of the workload potentially. Mm-hmm. You know, but definitely a leader. Definitely a leader.
Yeah, so I'm looking through the other cuts, really kind of maybe not eye-openers, but just, you know, other guys that I thought were interesting to talk about. Of course, the wide receiver Duke Williams, he was brought back to the practice squad. I was really hoping he would make the 53, but I think he's kind of your next wide receiver in line if there were to be an injury. So I like that they were able to keep him. He, you know, cleared waivers and the Bills were able to bring him back. Ray McLeod moved on. He's now with the Panthers. So, you know, a couple of guys that they lost that they probably would have liked to have had back. But other than that, I'm not really seeing any other massive surprises on this. You know, Eddie Yarborough got cut. We thought with the defensive end play from, you know, a lot of those guys that he might be on the outside looking in, and he was, even with a strong fourth preseason game, but he's brought back to the practice squad. So, you know, still hanging around with the team, which is good. But other than that, Matt, I'm not sure if you thought of anybody else that you'd have liked to see stick around. I was kind of hoping Cam Phillips would. Haven't really heard if he's anywhere else, but those were kind of the guys to me that stood out was Yarborough, obviously Duke Williams, and you know, just notables that Ray McLeod left as well.
Yeah, I think Yarborough was the biggest surprise on the defensive side. Maybe not surprise, but probably the one I was a little disappointed of, because he did, man. He's a hard worker, a tough player, great player. And, you know, there's just too much going on. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about it all preseason, how depthy the Bills are. And unfortunately it didn't work out. And I'm glad he's, you know, still with the team in a practice squad capacity. Offense. Yeah. Duke Williams is probably definitely the big one. Eystein, that I would still like with the team. Let's see, I'm looking at running backs here. I don't think a lot of people expected Yeldon to make the team. Mm-hmm. A little surprised by that, but not too many surprises. You know, we can go into Christian Wade a little bit, which, you know, a lot of people were kind of hoping he'd make it, but at the same time, it's probably smarter that he stays in that program, the international pathway. And, you know, I'm glad he's going to be able to learn the game a little bit better in that respect.
Mm-hmm. Looking over the, you know, practice squad right now, you've got Davis Webb, who the Bills signed to be their third quarterback. You know, because if the Bills do have an injury, knock on wood, to Josh Allen, you know, with Matt Barkley to go in, you don't have anybody else. So they get Davis Webb, who was on the Jets, you know, very recently. So interesting that they went and nabbed him to now serve in the practice squad. I'm sure he'll share some trade secrets. Eddie Yarborough, we talked about, you know, Cam Lewis is going to stick around. Nate Hall, who they signed from Dallas, he'll be on the practice squad. Duke Williams, we mentioned. Kyle Pecko is back, which is a good story. I thought he played pretty well. Obviously, he was chronicled pretty heavily with his wife's announcement of cancer this offseason. So good to see that he stuck around. I think he provides decent depth at the D-tackle spot. Eric Magnuson is back as another offensive lineman for depth. Nate Becker, who showed some nice plays at the tight end position. And Tyron Johnson, the wide receiver, they're bringing back. And, of course, Christian Wade. I believe they still have one more spot open. So not sure if they're going to fill that. I imagine they would to get to their 11. But that right now is the makeup of the practice squad.
Yeah, it's not too shabby. It's a good mix of guys who I think would be, you know, game ready if to be called up. Mm-hmm. Going back real quick on the main roster, were you surprised that they decided to keep five tight ends?
Not really. You know, I think they want to keep, with Kroom going kind of on IR and not really being available. I think they're confident in Tyler Croft's progress. So I'm not really surprised. What I was surprised about was 10 offensive linemen. It's a lot of offensive linemen to keep. Typically teams will maybe keep 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But to, have 10 there, and you have Magnussen on the practice squad, that's a lot of offensive linemen.
Yeah, I guess they're not messing around this year with that offensive line, at least Definitely. Trying not to. Let's see. Was there any other non-Jets game stuff that you wanted to cover real quick?
Punter.
Yes. Yeah, the punting.
Yeah.
Are you happy? Are you happy with the end result?
Listen, I mean, I was serious, I guess, a little bit when I told Brad Gelbert today on Twitter, our Bills Wire contributor, Brad, like, hey, the Bills defense is so good. Let's just have them, go for it on fourth down every time. We don't need a punter. And I was, half serious about that. But if you were on our own, 20 or 30 yard line, probably not a great idea.
No.
However, okay, so the punting battle, I really don't care. At the end of the day, I want Bohorquez to perform better. I think he does pretty good in practice. He's obviously not performed up to snuff in the preseason. I think the Bills were looking at some punters. I believe even they were taking a look and trying punters out today.
They thought they were getting that Colquitt, I think, and somebody else scooped him up. So, yeah.
You also had Ryan Santoso, who was previously with the Lions. He worked out with the Bills today. So I think they are looking at other options. I think they know that, they could upgrade in that position. I also think by them doing their due diligence on this, I think it pushes Bohorquez to be better. Listen, I've also seen that he's punted really well in practice too. So, at the end of the day, as long as he, doesn't fumble the snap or he's punting, 15, 20 yard punts, I'm okay to give him a shot here in the first regular season game. If the Bills can upgrade, great. Try to upgrade and to see if you can hit somebody better. But at the end of the day, I think, and you heard this yesterday, I'm not sure if you did specifically, Matt, but I did, that Brandon Bean in his press conference sounded concerned about messing with the holder. And we talked about this too. You want to make sure that Steven Hauschka has a holder that he's comfortable in. He's been, working with Bohorquez a lot. And then if you were to bring in a new punter, then you have to change the holder. And it seems like the Bills really value that relationship even more so than the punting itself, which is debatable. But so you have a lot of things at play there. I'm not as focused on it. I still think offense, defense wins games for the most part. I think special teams can definitely be a factor, of course, but I'm more concerned with how Josh Allen plays against the Jets than I am, how the punting unit is. That if that makes sense.
No, I completely understand it. And yeah, I mean this upcoming Sunday, it's the first regular season game, Bills at Jets in New York/New Jersey. I've been looking forward to this matchup since the schedule was announced, to be perfectly honest with you, because you and I have alluded to this quite a bit, is that the Jets and the Bills have had similar off seasons in rebuilding their teams to, be potential playoff contenders and of course beyond. But yeah, I think this is going to say a lot about this Bills team, this first game. It's obviously a divisional game. You got to win those every chance you get. You got to win every game, of course, every chance you get. But I think this is a very important first step in this 2019 season for Buffalo.
Hines Ward officially brought on today to be an assistant with New York, the former Steeler. Interesting move. Good offensive mind, good player, Hall of Famer, I would think. So he's with the Jets now. Not sure how much makes a difference on Sunday, but just a notable move from the Jets side. I agree with you. A lot of the things that the Bills tried to do, the Jets mimicked or vice versa this offseason. I mean, they're both in similar situations with young quarterbacks, so you're going to try to build around that young quarterback. You're going to try to bolster the defense. In the Bills' case, I think they had a pretty stout defense to begin with. So, and we've talked about this you know, two, I think the Bills are going to have to attack the Jets secondary. You know, aside from Jamal Adams, that the cornerback situation in New York is not good.
No.
And so you're going to have to throw the ball. And, you know, this is game one. Josh Allen's going to have to come out and throw the ball, I think. You know, you're going to want to mix in the run, of course, but I think this is a game where Josh Allen can pick apart the Jets secondary. And, you know, we'll see what they decide to do. Jets from a schematic standpoint, where they sit back in zone or play a lot of man. But in either case, I think if you're the Bills, you are trying to attack through the air.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, the Bills have yet to see the line, this projected first string line too in action. So, I mean, that's going to be a big test as well. But yeah, it's with as much as Josh Allen has thrown this preseason, I definitely want to see that. You got to pick him apart there. That's going to be where they're going to be most vulnerable. Like you said, it's not a very great secondary. You know, their rush defense, I mean, it isn't terrible. They got some studs waiting up front. So that's something Buffalo is going to have to be very careful about when game planning, because, well, yeah, I mean, you don't want to overuse Gore too much. I think Singletary is going to play a big factor in this, being that receiving type back, where he might be able to get away with quite a bit, to be perfectly honest with you. But I am looking forward to seeing, I think the most important thing I'm looking for defensively, right? We've been wanting to see this Bills defense challenged all preseason. I want to see how they contain Le'Veon Bell. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest concerns. I don't think the Jets have like an all-star wide receiving core either, but I think Bell is probably the key factor. If you can contain Bell, you're probably going to win this game. There's a very good chance that you're going to win this game. And we haven't seen Bell play a down yet in a Jets uniform, just practice, you know, so there's really no tape on how they're going to use him. But I'm very interested to see how the Bills defense can, if they can shut him down at all.
Yeah. No, I think so. You know, just looking over what, you know, through the air, I was thinking a lot of screen passes, Matt. You know, I think the Jets are going to try to be aggressive, rush up field. And I think that's where Singletary can kind of slip behind some defenders. The Jets linebackers are very good, very wary and smart. So if you can try to trick them or fool them with certain kind of, you know, quick hitters or screen plays with Singletary, that'll be good. The Jets were battling a lot of injuries too throughout the preseason, but it looks like they're going to be pretty much at full go, full strength for the game on Sunday. Tremaine Johnson, one of those cornerbacks, was injured, but it looks like he's good to go. And you also have, you know, the wide receiver Robbie Anderson, they're really number one target. He had a soft tissue injury. And, you know, reading up on Jets news, it seemed like Adam Gase was pretty cryptic on kind of what that injury was about. But apparently he's on pace and on track to start against the Bills. So and the Bills, I think, are pretty healthy, too, which is good to see. You don't want to have, you know, teams suffering, you know, catastrophic injuries heading into week one. I do think Herndon being out for the Jets on the suspension is big for the Bills. You know, he's a tight end that presents a lot of, you know, mismatches. So him not being in the lineup for the Jets, I think, is big, a big plus for the Bills. But it is good to see. I'm glad we're having, you know, full go, full, you know, full tilt on both sides as we enter week one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's going to provide, you know, good challenge. Like I think we talked about, we did a schedule predictor, you and I, a few months ago, and this could, I mean, this game could play a factor come week 17 when they play each other again as to who's getting the wild card. It very well could be. The AFC is that open, I think, right now. So this is, this would be a big one to for Buffalo to win. It's going to be a challenge. It's not going to be easy. The Jets always seem to squeak out some kind of weird win on Buffalo every year. Mm-hmm. And they always do. And so I don't know. I'm about 50-50 on this game still. Of course, I'm rooting for the Bills to get the win, but, you know, there's always got to watch out.
Yep. It is going to be a good game. I'm sure we'll talk about a lot more as we head into, the next game against New York, the Giants, that is. I said in the preseason that I think they need to split in New York. Obviously, this one being an AFC opponent would be much bigger, but we will definitely look forward to that. And any other notable things against the Jets that you have, Matt? Because I'm not seeing anything else. I know that they've, like every team has assigned players to their practice squad as well. No one on their practice squad's really jumping off. Luke Falk was signed quarterback, but other than that, I'm not noticing or recognizing any of these other names.
No, nobody too familiar with that. And I guess really the only thing is we're going to see how, Josh Allen, I guess overall, how mm-hmm. Josh Allen progresses. One of the cool things about the Bills schedule this year is they're playing every major sophomore quarterback from last year's draft. So we're going to see how much he's, grown compared to last year and how far ahead he is than Darnold, and we're going to see it close up, and we'll be able to see that against Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Rosen, and so there's an interesting factor with this. It's really how much these two have grown over the last year. I like them both as quarterbacks, but it's we want to see us here in Buffalo, the Bills Mafia, wherever you're from, you're listening from, we want to see Josh Allen progress, and this is going to be a big first step. Where does he fit in with last year's rookie class?
Yeah, for sure. And then, last year, as you remember, Matt, the Bills and Jets, this wasn't an Allen and Darnold matchup in New York. No. It was Barkley and McCown. So, obviously, Matt Barkley had a huge day. But this is the first time in New York that these two will be squaring off, which is cool, too. They obviously played against each other in Buffalo last year, but not in the Meadowlands. So, yeah, we'll look forward to that little nugget as well. It's the first time Josh Allen steps on the field at MetLife.
Absolutely. I think that about wraps it up for today's episode, everybody. On behalf of Jeremy and I, thank you so much for listening. On behalf of Bills Wire, please keep supporting, reading the articles. The guys are pumping out articles and content for you all to enjoy. Seemingly every half hour. So, go give it a read. It's some good riveting stuff. I've been learning quite a bit from it. Please go support them. And that does it for us. Go Bills.